Philippians chapter number 4. I want to start reading with verse number 10 there. Let's read and then we'll look at this scripture together, focusing on one particular verse there, verse 19. But we'll back up and read verse 10. Philippians 4:10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians ought know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank God for his wonderful word this morning. Amen. This is the text that we're looking at here today, focusing on verse number 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But in order for us to understand the context this morning, I wanted to back up and read the previous verses there. I have this app on my phone where the every day, every morning, sometime throughout the day, I get this verse of the day. It just pops up as a verse of the day. And I read the verse of the day, and I often have to go back to the scripture and find out where that verse of the day came from, because one little verse sometimes is hard to get our hands around what the scripture is saying to us. And so it's kind of hard to bring it down to just a verse. But I do like the verse of the day app, because it kind of gets me into the word and helps me to go back and find out what that verse is. But I'm thankful for the word of God, even verse by verse or chapter by chapter, book by book, however we receive it. My preference is to go back and find the whole of the meaning, but that's how it's given to us, really. It's not really given to us broken down in really pithy little phrases like a fortune cookie, but it is the word, the whole word of God that is complete. And so often if we just pull the one verse of the day, we can get off track and end up somewhere where we ought not. But the Apostle Paul here in his writing says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I have that one verse, but we want to bring it into the context. But just for our purposes this morning, when we think about the riches of God, it's three things we want to talk about. We want to talk about my God, our need, and his riches. Amen. My God, our need, his riches. And so when we think about our need, or particularly here in this text, it's written your need. The Apostle Paul begins with that phrase, but my God. I mean, how many is thankful for my God? He wrote this letter, as we've not long studied this book of Philippians on our Wednesday night Bible study. It was written from what's believed to be a jail cell, not very comfortable settings as we would like to think of, or someone would want to write something of this magnitude. But yet we find the Apostle Paul, even in the midst of a jail cell, wherever he found himself, we find him ministering and reaching out to the saints of God. And so he writes this letter, really of a commendation, if you will, to the Philippians, as it started into the text there, about how that these Philippian people were a giving people. Now, if you remember where we were last week, and we were looking at that phrase about the sufficiency of God, and where Paul tells the Corinthians there in 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, he says that our sufficiency Or as we look, I guess it was chapter 4, actually, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, when he was talking about his sufficiency being, let me read it there just to make sure I get it right for you this morning. 2 Corinthians 3 and 5, it says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." And so we talked about that briefly last week and over the last couple of weeks, our sufficiency is of God. Well, I'm not really prepared to leave that yet because I want us to look at that even just a little bit deeper when we think about our sufficiency being of God. When we think of, first off, as it's already been mentioned here this morning, you know, when we stand before God, we want to be standing before God clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. I mean, that really our sufficiency is of God in the sense that we have been partakers of his divine nature, that we've been given all things, as the Bible teaches us, that pertain unto life and godliness. And I appreciate how Marion opened the service this morning and how that we understand that even as believers, even as those that have surrendered, so often it seems that we live, even myself speaking of me, below our means or even below where we should be walking in our faith, that we not be that our faith just not be turned and tossed by the whims and the situations of the world, but that the word of God stands sure. Amen. And that if our faith is rooted and grounded in God's word, we, even in the midst of our generation, in the midst of our day, and all that's going on around us in the shifting sands, we can stand upon the rock. Amen. That we can be planted on the rock. I remember as a kid, we used to sing that song in church. We're like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. And that has always been my desire and my prayer, is that God, that I would not be moved. And that we be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That is our desire. And I'm sure every one of us here this morning, that is our desire as well, that we be not shaken, that we be not tossed to and fro. And so the Apostle Paul here in 2 Corinthians 3, he says our sufficiency, we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency, or our the ability for us, and I say us there, and as we're seeing here, our sufficiency is of God, to meet the needs of our situation or to bring about the proposed end. Our sufficiency, what it is that Scripture we understand is for that purpose, to strengthen us. My mind goes quickly when I think about fighting a battle and how the Bible teaches us that our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. And we think about the sword of the Spirit, and I like the way the Bible clarifies it for us there. It leaves us no room for guessing, which is the Word of God. Amen. That we have the Word of God, and the Word of God is sufficient to build up and to encourage and to strengthen us, and that we don't need to give ourselves over to other techniques and other methods, but just simply relying upon the Word of God and the Spirit of God to bring that to fruition into our life. And we want to be that as individuals and as a church together, that we understand that our sufficiency is of God and not of ourselves. And so with the Apostle Paul back over in Philippians, as he was saying these words, he says that our God is able, and as he was commending them for their giving, he said, you know, I had a need, and you cared for my need. He said you were careful, or you were concerned about, but you had lacked opportunity. And then he goes into the, just, I guess parenthetically speaking, he says, I'm not saying these things because I just want something. He said, because I've been serving God long enough to learn. He's learned something. What is it that he has learned? He says, I've learned to suffer want, and I've learned to have need, but I've also learned to abound. So I've learned these things, and that's all of us. I hope we learn that through our walk with God. There's times when we have plenty, and there's times we may have want, in a sense. But Paul says, I've learned to be content in all things, and I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And that's one of those verses of the day you might get one day, and you read that, and you think, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I know I've said this before, but And then one day it come real to me that, you know, God, what you're saying there is that we can endure hardship, we can endure plenty, we can endure time of need, we can enjoy time of plenty of where God has supplied all our natural needs. But the reality of it is this, that our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is, it's not of man. It's not of human resources. It's not, thankfully, of human wisdom. But our sufficiency is of God. That really brings that God will bring about out of our lives, amen, what he desires. If we would just yield and surrender unto him, God, just, Lord, you do the work, our sufficiency, or that which makes us competent, that which makes us worthy, is of God, not of ourselves. Paul says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, so I wanted to break that down. First, my God. How many is thankful for my God? Man, glad that he's my God. I was reading throughout the Old Testament scripture, particularly in Exodus and different places where God would speak to the children of Israel, and he would say things like, I am the Lord, your God. Amen. I am the Lord that brought you out of Egypt. I am the Lord that fed you in the wilderness. I am the Lord, your God, that brought water from the rock. He said, you shall know that I am the Lord, your God. And so Paul here to encourage those that were giving, those that had given of their substance, they had gave of their, whether it be money or something that they had given to help supply his need. And he wraps all that up. He goes, I'm thankful for this. He says, not that I wanted a gift from you, but that a fruit may abound toward your life. All right, so he says that, but my God shall supply all your need. He was convinced of that. When we're liberal in the things of God, when I say that term liberal, I use it cautiously this morning because it's kind of taking on a different meaning in our day. But when you think about liberal, it means that you're giving. You're willing to give in a sense that you're liberal in the things that God has blessed you with. And so Paul says this, he says, my God, my God, I'm thankful that he's my God. And so that's our question this morning and starting in our lesson, is he your God? Do you know him as God? Have you known him as a personal, in a personal relationship? So we find this first in Paul's letter. He goes, this is my God. This is Paul's relationship to God. Ephesians 1 and 6, he says this, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. God has made us accepted in the beloved, or we're endued with special honor. That's every one of us as believers this morning. Now, this is going to be an encouraging message for you. You're endued with special honor. I mean, that you have been accepted into the beloved. It's the same word that's used there when the angel spoke unto Mary as she was about to conceive and bring forth a child. And the angel spoke to Mary and said, Hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. You're highly favored. And so Paul says, God has made us accepted or highly favored into the beloved. Now that word beloved doesn't need a lot of a definition, does it? It means just we're loved. We're loved of God. We have been accepted. So Paul says, my God. It's a personal. I thank my God. He says that many times throughout his letters. I couldn't even read them all this morning as he would write a letter of introduction, or as he would open one of his letters to one of the churches. He would always say, I thank my God. My God. We can go throughout the Old Testament scripture and find where the children of Israel many times would forsake their God and they would turn to gods that were no gods. And matter of fact, they would talk about how and God would bring judgment upon them, and he would make it very clear. He says, you know, you've given over the one that supplied all your needs, and you've gone and turned over to gods that were made of hands, made of wood, made of stone, that were able to be cast into the fire and burnt up. He said, these are no gods at all. But your God, amen, he's our God this morning. He's our God. He's given us the power. He's given us the sufficiency to endure. Amen. He's given us that which will help us to overcome as we fight the good fight of faith, as the Bible says. But he says, my God. So we've got that personal relationship. And many of us, I thank my God. And then we think about it this way, that this God, the creator of all things. You ever think about that? Just sometimes you're just overwhelmed by it. The fact that God, the creator of all things, the one that spoke the very world into existence, we fall on our knees and we call on his name in the name of Jesus Christ, and he hears our prayer. Amen. My God. I think that's probably what David meant as he wrote his psalm there in Psalm 8 and 4. As he says, what is when I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? What is man? And then, of course, we know how they, over in the book of Hebrews, that same text is quoted, and from there it talks about how that the Son of God came and was made a little lower than the angels, and all that he did, and he did that, what? To bring many sons unto God. To bring many sons into this family that we too can be our partakers. Amen? And so he says this, he says, my God shall supply all your need. My God shall supply all your need. So we've got the resource this morning. It's my God. We've got a need. He says, God was able to supply all your needs. So when we think about the sufficiency, obviously we are thinking about the strength to overcome, to fight any battle that we might face, to fight any hardship that might come our way. But we also think just in a very very basic needs of life. Just the food and raiment and all that we have, all that comes from God. Amen. That we don't have to worry and fret about things. I love the way Jesus puts it in the Sermon on the Mount as he was talking, and I often go back to it just to remind myself. It's Matthew 6, and it's a very familiar passage to us, and we've heard it many times, but just listen to the words as Jesus says these things there. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more than they? I mean, just think how, for a second, how contrary that runs to the world's wisdom. I mean, can you see this morning how that the wisdom of the world truly does come to nothing? That it just kind of falls apart. Amen. That we, so often when it seems like it may be gaining steam and getting a foothold, let's just stand on God's word this morning and know that it will amount to nothing. That it will just fall by the wayside and God's word will stand true. Amen. That we don't have to fret and wring our hands and say, oh, no, this or that. That we know that the wisdom of this world turns to dust. It turns to nothing. But Jesus says, are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, who's the ye of little faith there that Jesus is referencing? He's talking about those that toil and fret and are taking thought for their life, and that just means to just fret over, to worry about, wring our hands. He says, O ye of little faith. He says, don't worry about these things. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Now there's the wonder of it all. When I consider the heavens, consider all that's around me, the work of your hands. Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And, but yet here we find Jesus' own words, the only begotten Son of God, as he stood upon that mountain or in that teaching setting, and he said, your Father knows. He said, you don't have to be like the Gentiles. And by that, he means those unbelievers or those that were worshiping pagan gods that whose gods could do nothing for them. He says, but you're not serving that God. You've got my God that shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And that's the God that we're serving this morning. So he says, your Father knows that you have need of these things. But he says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sometimes we get it turned around, don't we? We take the first part of that, and we worry about our body and what we're going to put on in our life, what we're going to eat. Even the body is more than raiment. And he says, uses the examples of the fowls of the air and all these things, and says, your Father clothes these. Are you not much more? But seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It means other things, heavenly things. Man, the spiritual that Marion was talking about earlier this morning, the things that cannot be seen with our eyes, the things that are maybe not even able to be touched, but and the reality of it is they are more real and more everlasting and enduring than anything else that we can actually touch. Our God, my God, he says, shall supply all your needs. He's able to supply our material needs, our emotional needs, our life, our strength, our health, our courage, our peace. All these things come from God, and our sufficiency is of him and not of ourselves. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. So we got my God, your need, his riches. His riches, his resources. That's what it really means there. When you think about the resources of God, can we really measure the sum of God's riches this morning? Is there any way that we can measure what God is able to give according to his riches? Or the word according there means in proportion with. Think about it. It's not just like, you know, that we've got this very rich father that's able to slip us a $10 bill every now and again. You know, I know Shell's got this little thing of mints. I can't remember. It's a little round thing of mints. It's got like a big door on it, and it's got a little bitty thing on it. And one of them says it's for sharing. I can't remember if it's the big one or the small one. The small one? The big one. The big one's for sharing, it says. So, you know, and the little one is just for the individual. Well, you know, sometimes when I ask for a mint, she opens that little door. She won't open the big one and let me get in there and get three or four of them. She'll just open that small one and pour me one in my hand. But, you know, God says, I'm going to open the big door for you. Amen. I'm going to supply all your need according to my riches. It's not like $1 million. I got $1 million. I'm going to slip you a 10. He goes, no, according to, in proportion to. Amen. The Bible teaches us that daily he loads us with his benefits. Amen. Now this morning is not just some prosperity message where you can go home and say, all right, God's going to fill up my bank account. He's going to give me this new thing or that new thing. That's not what this is about. It's about the fact that we're understanding that God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That we understand that our faith and our confidence is in him. And the Bible teaches, look what he says over in Psalms. We quote this scripture a lot. I went and read the whole thing just to, I won't read the whole chapter this morning just because it's a pretty long chapter, in Psalm chapter number 50. But we can just start with verse number, let's see. Let's just pick it up, Psalm 50, verse number 8 there. It says, we'll start there. That's as good as any. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. It says, I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. Now here it is. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine, he said. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I get the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Now, we can stop there. Maybe read that on your own when you get an opportunity. But the whole gist of it is this. You know, God's saying, I don't need your bullocks. I don't need your goats. If I was hungry, I wouldn't have to come to you. Why? Because I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm not the one with the need. Amen. We know that, right? Some people preach Jesus that God's the one with the need, like he needs something from us. I often go, and I like it here, and the verse comes to my mind as I say this morning over in Acts 17 when Paul was talking to those the men of Athens, and there's so much in that little passage that we often refer to it. And he says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything. Man, God needs nothing of us. He's not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bonds of their habitation. God's in control. Amen. The psalmist says it that way. He says I own cattle on 1,000 hills. Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. I don't have a need. But here's what you're to do. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Amen. Offer unto God, he says, according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Our God shall supply all our need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus our Lord. Marian was reading about talking about the sweet-smelling savor. Paul mentions it here in verse 18 as well. He talks about this giving, verse 18 of Philippians 4, but I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. A very natural thing, rather be some type of gift that they had given to Paul through Epaphroditus, and it became a sacrifice. And when you think of sacrifice, you think about the lambs that were offered upon the altars and different things. But here, in this new covenant, we find this very natural thing of giving of an offering, and it becomes a spiritual thing, and that it was a sacrifice unto God. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. See, a lot of times the very most natural things that we do, like to meet a need in someone else's life, it just may seem like, well, it's not really that big a deal. It's just something that I do. You know, I've got this extra or whatever. And yet here Paul applies it and says, you know, this is like a sacrifice unto God. It's a sweet-smelling odor, well-pleasing. And that's when he followed that up. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Look in 2 Corinthians 9 this morning. Our sufficiency. Our competency this morning is of God. As the psalmist wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Look at 2 Corinthians 9. Verse number 8 there. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Amen. Now, there's a verse of Scripture right there full of superlatives. I always should give Shell a hard time because she uses superlatives a lot. You know, something's always something or this, that. It's the greatest thing in the world. This is the best song I've ever heard. This is the best, you know, superlatives. I'm sorry, Shell. I don't mean to pick on you this morning. But here we have Shell's verse right here. The verse of superlatives. And God is able to make all grace abound. There's another word dealing with superlative. Toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Amen. There it is, Shell. There's your new verse. Superlatives. All. Amen. All things may abound toward you, that you always, not some of the time, always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And let's read on a little farther there, because we're going back to that whole captivity. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Who's the giver this morning? My God. Shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Amen. That God is our sufficiency, and he makes us to abound to every good work this morning. Amen. All. At least four times in this one verse. All grace, all sufficiency, all things, every good work, always. That's our God this morning. I was thinking that as I was thinking about the sufficiency. You remember the centurion soldier that came to Jesus, or sent word to Jesus, actually, that he would come or just say the word and heal his servant that was sick. And he says, if you just but speak the word, I know my servant would be healed. He said, but I'm not worthy. And that's the word that's used there. I'm not worthy. The centurion soldier said, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but just speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. So when we think about that, this soldier saying, Lord, I'm not even worthy for you to come into my house. I mean, what humility he sent to Jesus. He wouldn't even come to him himself. He sent word to him, I'm not even worthy for you to come. And so let's take the inverse of that this morning with respect to ourselves and where we are right now in Christ Jesus our Lord. He has given us all sufficiency. Amen. And he has clothed us with his righteousness, and we are his children. We can come to God in prayer and know that our Father that created all things, that owns the cattle on a thousand hills, will meet our every need and make us to abound in all things. Amen. In all things. One more place in Psalms this morning. Look over in Psalm chapter 19. I'm not going to look this whole passage, but I was reading this week with respect to the provisions of God and thinking about the sufficiency even of his word. look at, let's start verse 7 there, Psalms chapter 96. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Amen. The testimonies of the Lord. I got the opportunity yesterday to spend some time with my dad, and we were talking about different things, and we got on the subject. I don't remember how we got it on it, but we were talking about the big lottery winners. I guess somebody won a big lottery or something recently, got these millions of dollars, and Dad quoted a verse there from Psalms about how that wealth gained in vanity comes to nothing. I'm not quoting that exactly right, but it's close to that. But when we labor for it, it's health unto us or something. I messed that all up. But as we were having a discussion, and Dad made the comment, he goes, you know what? Do we really believe that? Because that's the Word of God, and that's truth. That when we think about, it's evident. You can see it in the news. It seems like all these people that win all these monies and millions of dollars, and it truly doesn't bring contentment, does it? Doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't bring joy. As a matter of fact, it seems like it does just the opposite. And the stories abound of people that just their lives just become turmoil and in a wreck because basically they gained all this wealth instantly and in vanity. And God's word makes it clear what the result of that is. God's word brings wisdom into our life. He says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and right altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. We got gold right here at our fingertips, don't we? Amen? We've got gold right before us. We're reading it here. Sometimes, when I'm alone and I'm reading the Word of God, and it's just like, Lord, these are your words. These are from the very throne of God. This is the very God-breathed word that gives us a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It says, yea, that than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Amen. Our sufficiency is of God this morning, isn't it? Paul says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. What a great promise that I think it was Peter talked about the exceedingly great and precious promises of God. Amen. Precious promises of God. They are precious to us this morning. Amen. They are God-breathed. They are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path today. And I'm so thankful to have his provision. And he is our Father. And we can go to him today. We can go to him right now and say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Can we do that today? Can we go to God in prayer and say, Father, thank you, Lord, for your provision. I trust you, God. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to wring my hands over. I'm just going to trust you. And know that he is our faithful Father, and he'll supply all our need. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, today for your precious word. God, thank you, Lord, that your promises in you are yea, and in you are amen. Father, we are thankful to know that today. Lord, that you are our God. Lord, what a great thing that is to be able to say that you are our God. Lord, that we know that you are the true living God, Lord of lords, the King of kings, God, you are the one, Father, and you are able to supply all our need. God, you are able to supply, and we have a need, God. Lord, there's some here right here this morning, Father, that have a need. God, let us look to you for that need. God, because you are able to give of your abundance, Lord God, according to your riches. God, according to yours. God, you are our sufficiency. Lord, you meet our needs. God, we are so thankful for that. And we look to you. God, we trust you for our strength, for our peace today, for our wisdom, Lord, that only comes from you. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning.